Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hobb. We're talking to America's number one change agent when it comes to brain health. He's Dr. David Perlmutter, a.k.a. the Empowering Neurologist. He's got a great website that I urge you to check out at drperlmutter.com. That's P-E-R-L-M-U-T-T-E-R. .com. And he's got a bunch of great projects lined up that he's telling us about. New book coming out, Brainwash, in early January of 2020. Also, a new documentary series. It's a webinar of nutrients that come under the rubric of carbohydrates as being drivers of neurodegenerative processes. And lately, there's been some pushback on that. You may have seen a study recently, a bunch of gastroenterologists fed gluten-free food to some volunteers who did not test for celiac disease. They were non-celiac disease sufferers. And then they challenged them with gluten, and they found that they had no problems whatsoever. So their conclusion was, okay, if you got celiac disease, avoid gluten. But for those who don't have true celiac disease, it's a bridge too far. And it's kind of a fad.
I want to talk about that study first.
I'm sure you've seen it.
This hit the headlines, and it was like, oh, so therefore you see this is all people are just making it up. Let's just be clear. Big study. It was a very, very large study that involved 28 people. And what they did was they selected out 28 people who reported no difficulty in tolerating gluten. These are people who did not have, obviously, celiac disease, but also did not have non-celiac gluten sensitivity. Then what did they do? They challenged them with gluten, and lo and behold, they were right.
No problem.
They didn't have any issues, which most people don't, or at least they don't observe any issues.
Right.
They don't complain about
it. And also, it's like a two-week period, I think. It was like 2 weeks off,
But yeah. You're giving people who basically said, yeah, I don't have any problem with gluten, and what did the study prove? It proved that they were right. What did we glean from that? We gleaned absolutely
nothing. It's a tautology. It's like they said they were fine, and it turns out they were fine.
Yes.
But is it possible that there's some sort of insidious underlying autoimmune or inflammatory process that is not noticeable to people, that they may afflict them, whether or not they have symptoms?
That's absolutely. I mean, so the Journal of the American Medical Association last year validated the notion of non-celiac gluten sensitivity, gluten sensitivity being an issue completely apart from an autoimmune condition that we call celiac disease, saying that some people react to gluten and in a way that leads to increased gut permeability and then symptoms, and generally symptoms related in some way to the production of inflammatory chemicals within the body. Now, nobody knows how many people actually would qualify for that, but it's somewhere north of 20-30% of all humans on the planet, i.e. a big number. But beyond that, we do see research that demonstrates, at least ex vacuo or in the laboratory, that gluten does induce some degree of leakiness of the gut in all individuals.
Why would that be? Because, you know, we tend to think of, you know, it's an ancient grain, it's the staff of life, civilization was built on grains, that was the great leap forward of mankind, that we were able to domesticate grains and thus establish the basis for complex societies. So, you know, a lot of people point to that and they say it's natural.
We're crying out loud. I mean, give us this day our daily bread is in the Bible.
Yeah, exactly.
So how in the world are we able to raise a red flag and say, you know, guess what? This isn't something that humans have always consumed. If we, as mentioned earlier, if we humans developed agriculture, let's say 12,000 years ago, to be generous, or 14,000 years ago, that means less than one half of 1% of the time we've been on this planet have we been consuming gluten-rich foods. So for 99.5% of our time on planet Earth, we were on a gluten-free, non-GMO, organic diet. Think about it. So that is the environment in which our genome continued to refine itself. An organic diet, high in good fat, low in, there was no refinement of carbohydrates, and obviously gluten-free. It is only, you know, in the blink of an eye that suddenly gluten enters the stage, the diet becomes devoid of dietary fiber, and much higher levels of processed carbohydrates are challenging, not just our gut and our gut permeability, but actually challenging our gene expression and modifying our gut bacteria, and therefore playing a huge role in terms of affecting any number of metabolic parameters within the human body. So, you know, every once in a while there is a study that comes out like the one you just quoted, and everybody says, aha, now we know that all that gluten-free stuff was just a bunch of hogwash.
Yeah, let's Hollywood celebrities, you know, influencers, blah, blah, blah.
Tennis players, name it, Dr. Perlmutter, all these people, what do they know? Well, I don't know, I don't know, the world may be flat. Who knows? But I'm saying to your listeners, you know what, I'm doing the best I can to stay as current as I possibly can with the literature as it comes out. And I will promise you that I will likely change my tune about any number of things I've talked about over the years as we move forward and as science continues to evolve and give us new information. You and I both, I would think, let's say 20 years ago or 25 years ago, were telling people that it'd be good to reduce your dietary fat. That was the state of the art of the scientific recommendations at that time. We changed our tune. I've been attacked for that saying. How could you believe Dr. Perlmutter is now telling us that fat is a good thing in the diet when he used to tell us to be on a low-fat diet? Well, we change our messaging over time. That's a good thing, not a bad thing. But I'm not retrenching as yet on gluten. I don't see that there's any reason we need gluten in the diet. I don't at all see an upside. There are some considerations in terms of downsides. Therefore, on balance, do your best to reduce the gluten that you consume. There is evidence that it increases gut leakiness. That's leading to inflammation. And by all means, the last thing we want to do for our health, as it spans everything from Alzheimer's to heart disease to cancer to diabetes, the last thing we want to do is anything that's going to amplify inflammation. It even changes our thinking, our thought process, and our decision making, making us more impulsive, more narcissistic, less empathetic, less compassionate, less able to plan for the future. That's what inflammation does to the human brain. That's what our new book is about.
Right. And you're actually opening up some new horizons in brainwash. It's, you know, you have all the great technical information, but there's also, you know, almost a bit of a spiritual focus in that book, which you actually co-wrote with your son, Dr. Austin Perlmutter.
That's right. So Austin is a board-certified internal medicine MD, having just completed his residency at Oregon Health Sciences in Portland. And, you know, he raised the question over the past couple of years, what's going on here? I'm studying everything as hard as I can, learning as much information as I can. I'm meeting one-on-one with my patients, and I'm giving them this empowering information. Get some exercise, cut back on your carbs, take your medicines, all these things. And yet, visit after visit, nothing changes. So what we've got to start paying attention to is thinking about why people are making bad decisions. It's not because we're not giving them good information. Your listeners are getting wonderful information, But what is the block that keeps them from implementing? And what we've discovered is that our decision-making apparatus in the brain has been hacked. It's been hacked by the foods that we eat through the process of inflammation. It's been hacked by the digital world that we are exposed to. The
media is part of it.
You bet. The way things are just designed to be attracted to us, to keep us hooked and make bad decisions. And that's what Brainwash, the book, is all about, is taking back control, reclaiming your decision-making, allowing you to get away from that part of the brain called the amygdala, which is the fear-based center, the impulsivity center, the actions without thinking center, and really tap into what's called the prefrontal cortex, that area of the brain that allows you to make better decisions, decisions that help not only yourself, but help others, that help the planet, and decisions that are looking at longer-term consequences of what you decide to do today. And, you know, as we wrote this book, we realized how important inflammation is, because inflammation ties you into the amygdala and tears you away from that good part of your brain called the prefrontal cortex. Inflammation is caused by the Western diet, which is spreading to be the global norm. So what we're saying is then this Westernization of the diet around the world is changing the mindset, the brain function of the planet, making us less empathetic, more self-centered, more impulsive, and less likely to consider the consequences of what we say and do. So
sounds a little like Invasion of the Body Snatchers here. You know, our brains have been commandeered by master control, sort of a consumer society, you know, consume.
And it's breathtaking because people are doing functional MRI studies of the brain, and people under the influence of a poor night's sleep, of a diet higher in carbs, of spending more time on digital media, and realizing that exactly those things are happening, that the amygdala is being lit up and active. At the same time, our connection to that more adult part of the brain called the prefrontal cortex is being restricted. So basically, our modern lifestyle is taking the adult out of the room and, hey, look around. We're seeing the consequences of that. We're, you know, less concerned about things going on around us in terms of the planet. We're less concerned with the welfare of other people and even the welfare of our own health and bodies.
Well, indeed, and your titles are always great. Grain Brain was a real grabber, and of course, Brainwash has sort of it's a dual metaphor, because on the one hand, we are brainwashed into consumerism and consumption and, you know, instant gratification. But also, literally, science has led us to discover that there is a brainwashing process, the glymphatic system that's so essential to brain health. Can you elaborate?
Yes, I mean, so the effect of restorative sleep on activating this process by which we take out the garbage from the brain, the glymphatic system, really discovered by researchers at the University of Rochester, this glymphatic system named after these cells, the glial cells that, you know, previously had been relegated to who knows what. People say, well, they're just there, they don't do anything. Much like we used to say, junk DNA, like we have extra DNA lying around just in case we need more DNA. You know, it doesn't make sense. Nature is far more conservative than that. But this is a very important system by which our brain is able to rid itself of the buildup of the detritus from the day's work. We know that one night of poor sleep is associated with a significant accumulation of this beta amyloid that we talked about in the first segment. So it really brings to our attention the importance of getting restorative sleep night after night. Why We Sleep is a book written by Dr. Matthew Walker. And it's very, very informative in terms of why we need this process that all animals engage in. And that is sleep. It's not a passive time. It's an extremely active time. And it's really important for reducing inflammation and to allow us to reestablish our connection back to that part of the brain, the prefrontal cortex. It's allowing the adult to come back into the room. I mean, you know, if you've had you have a 4-year-old child and he or she doesn't have their afternoon nap, and then that evening they're carrying on and out of control, it's a perfect example of what happens when we take that, you know, at that very poorly functioning prefrontal cortex offline, and we're just getting behavior that stems from a very primitive brain center called the amygdala that is immediate in terms of its needs, its impulsivity, and really isn't able to carry out, you know, executive function to any significant degree.
Yeah, and new research suggests that through the process of normal brain maturation, teenagers, adolescents have that direct connection to the amygdala. That's why they're more impulsive. That's why they're more emotional. They act out of urgency rather than in a contemplative way, utilizing their cerebral cortex, which is the decision-making, judgmental part of the brain that only gets really hooked up when you're about 25, interestingly.
Well, you know, in your teenage years, it's beginning to come online. And you bring up a really, really good point, and that is this ability that we have to tap into that higher brain center, this what we call top-down ergonomics, whereby this part of the brain, the prefrontal cortex, occupying a third of the cerebral cortex, is able to exercise control over the more, dare I say, primitive brain areas. They have their value, which we can probably talk about in a minute, but it's the adult in the room. Otherwise, you're right. You know, the teenager would otherwise act without thinking, act capriciously, and we did it as teenagers and younger adults, etc. But you know, ultimately, you gain control. But here's the important point: is that we, throughout our lives, threaten that connection to the prefrontal cortex that we so covet, that you've just described. We threaten it when we don't get a restorative sleep, night's sleep. When we increase inflammation, when we have a higher refined carbohydrate diet, when we lack physical exercise, when we lack connection to nature, we threaten the ability of the prefrontal cortex to do its job. And what we essentially do when we don't get in nature, when we don't get a good night's sleep, when we eat the wrong foods, is we kick the adult out of the room. We become much more impulsive. We make the wrong decisions moving forward, like to stay up later, to use our digital media at night, to eat the wrong foods. And this creates what we call a feed-forward cycle that further takes the adult out of the room, and then we're in big trouble. Next thing you know, we're overweight dramatically, we've developed diabetes, our inflammatory markers are sky high, and we continue to suppress the ability to regain control. That's the central thesis of our book. It's giving people these powerful tools to regain control and to shut off these influences and to put the adult back in the room so that they can be happy, so that they can express empathy, they can reconnect with family members and loved ones, and reconnect with the value that each of us has in determining our future, the future of our communities, and the future of our planet.
It's very well said, and that thesis will be really explicated in your upcoming book, Brainwash. Okay, folks, at this point, let's pause and allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this vital message with you. Here goes. This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And now back to our guest, Dr. David Perlmutter. You know, in the concluding few minutes we have, you know, our listeners are always looking for news they can use. When it comes to supplements, so what's on your radar screen these days?
Good question. I am still very much in favor of vitamin D. I think that is a, you know, we've been talking about that for years and years, but I think, again, you know, the teaching is that have your vitamin D levels checked, take a dosage that's appropriate for you based on your healthcare provider's recommendation to get you to a meaningful level of vitamin D around 70 to 90 nanograms per milliliter, or if you're in Canada, there are different units. So I think that's really important. I am very big on prebiotic fiber. That is, even as a nutritional supplement available at the health food store, that type of unique type of fiber then that can nurture your gut bacteria. I think that's very, very important. Based upon my own genetics, I take a special form of a B vitamin because I happen to know that my genetics indicate that I need what's called a methylated form of B vitamin. Having said that, I think it's worthwhile to understand each of our uniqueness parameters as it relates to our genome, having a test like 23andMe or another genetic test, and letting somebody walk through that with you to determine not only in terms of your B vitamins, but what other supplements might be useful for you. I think there is an explosion of research indicating potential value of CBD.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I was going to ask you about that. Yeah.
Well, in terms of sleep, in terms of inflammation, in terms of, here's an outlier, bone density.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew? And we're just beginning to look at this literature that recognizes that these cannabinoid receptors are playing a huge role in terms of inflammation, and even precursors to the cannabinoids are playing a role in inflammation. So that we make certain endocannabinoids or stimulators of the system, like a 2-AG, for example, which is one of the endocannabinoids, we make more of this when we consume omega-6s. And this then may be one of the reasons that omega-6 fats, processed vegetable fats, increase inflammation. But we can antagonize that again through this endocannabinoid system by having omega-3s in the diet. We never understood that mechanism whereby we knew omega-3s were helping us reduce inflammation, omega-6s were pro-inflammatory, but now we see this through the eyes of the endocannabinoid system, and it's extremely exciting research. So I think that, in terms of areas I'm really interested in, I'm so excited about CBD in and of itself, but also this whole science of, you know, what's going on with the endocannabinoid system as it relates to things like brown fat, insulin sensitivity, just a variety of areas that we've been talking about for years. Now we can look at it through a different lens. And really excited moving forward and looking at how the microbiome, the gut bacteria, interplay with the endocannabinoid system. And that literature is just emerging.
What about some of the traditional phytonutrients, things like curcumin, sulforaphane? You've favored those in the past.
I do take a turmeric supplement every day, and I also take sulforaphane, and at the same time eat a lot of cruciferous vegetables. And been really enjoying listening. There's a new person on the scene, Dr. Rhonda Patrick,
mm-hmm.
who I think would be a superb guest on your program if she's not already been on.
Okay. Haven't had her on.
She's terrific. She really talks about how if you want sulforaphane, how it's really important that it be delivered to you along with a specific enzyme called myrosinase, which makes it more bioavailable, which is why it's good to chew cruciferous vegetables or put them through the blender. And there are products available that have this myrosinase enzyme in them, giving you more access to the ability of sulforaphane to do so many of the wonderful things that it does. I will also tell you that this is a little off topic, but I'm beginning to look at some pharmaceuticals in terms of some of their action. There's a lot of, I'm on the XPRIZE committee there's a new XPRIZE. Remember, the XPRIZE was developed to spur innovation for space research, for freshwater availability in Africa, etc. There's a new XPRIZE for longevity, and I'm on development committee for that. I was very surprised at the number of people, large number of people that were working on this, who are actually taking a drug called metformin, which is, a diabetes medication.
Mm-hmm. Our own Dr. Jacques Barcelay at my alma mater, Albert Einstein, is researching that with an elderly population in the Bronx.
We know that all-cause mortality in diabetics taking metformin is significantly reduced, well beyond the how specifically it ties into lowering blood sugar. That we know that there are other pathways like AMP kinase that are involved in terms and reduction of free radicals through downregulation of mitochondrial function, etc., that may play a role in how this drug affects gene expression and therefore may have some anti-aging properties. I'm certainly not suggesting that we're at the stage right now to make that as a global recommendation, but I think it's interesting. I won't reject a pharmaceutical intervention out of hand.
Right.
I think it's interesting to stay on top of this literature.
And originally, the derivation is from a natural product, goat's rue. So it's sort of a, extrapolation from something available in nature.
That's right. Having said that, we do know that there are some lifestyle modifications that can actually carry out and activate some of the same pathways, intermittent fasting, protein restriction at times, more of a ketogenic diet can have similar effects. What we're looking at are really two switches in terms of anti-aging that we want to activate. For your listeners, one is autophagy, where we amplify the ability of the body to rid itself of cells that are senescent or aging. And another pathway called mTOR, M-T-O-R, that's worth absolutely a Google search, that also is being looked upon as having a huge role to play in terms of reducing multiple parameters that are involved in aging, for example. And we can modify autophagy and mTOR activity based upon, as I mentioned, things like intermittent fasting, more of a ketogenic diet, cycling our protein. Nobody's got the magic formula. What does intermittent fasting even mean? What about this notion of a fasting mimicking diet that Dr. Walter Longo has talked about?
Mm-hmm.
But how cool it is that there are so many people looking at these gateway metabolic pathways that we can influence through simple lifestyle choices. That, for example, as you and I have talked about in the past, we can absolutely explode the number of brain cells that we are growing any moment by turning on a gene pathway by exercising. That is incredible.
Literally a neurogenesis. All those brain cells that we thought were so irrevocably destroyed after pulling those all-nighters partying in college, we may be able to recover them. Who knew?
Yeah, and I mean, when you and I were in medical school, that was heresy.
Yep.
That we were given a fixed number of brain cells, end of story, A, and B, that genes do what they do and you can't affect them. Both of those ideas have been turned topsy-turvy. We know that we do grow new brain cells throughout our lifetimes, and we know that we could change gene expression in a way as to amplify gene expression and grow new brain cells. Pretty darn empowering. And having said that, it gets back to, yes, exercise, but as you mentioned earlier, there are nutritional supplements like DHA, omega-3, and turmeric, for example, and even cruciferous vegetables that do, in fact, amplify that gene that helps us grow new brain cells.
Well, it's certainly an exciting time, and we could go on and on, but I would refer people to the resources that you've developed. You're really an outstanding curator of all the best information on this subject. Alzheimer's, the Science of Prevention, debuts next month. It's a webinar series that listeners can participate in. Just go to thescienceofprevention.com. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And yep. New book, The Microbiome and the Brain. That's a little bit more of a technical book for our more technically adept listeners and health professionals who listen. And then there's a popular book, Brainwash, in early January. Hey, you've been pretty prolific. Sounds like your brain preservation program is working out pretty well.
The truth of the matter is that I just got back from spending 4 months with my wife on a boat in Alaska. And
so it sounds like your secret to your productivity is to spend some time just doing nothing, right?
Oh my goodness. It's take one step backwards. It paves the way for the two steps forward.
Yep.
I mean, it's not like I was inactive over the summer.
No, clearly.
Kept reading and kept writing.
Yep.
But, novelty. Every day we'd anchor in a new spot and catch DHA laden,
Sounds idyllic.
And but you know, I wasn't as engaged as I now am, that I'm you know, back in doing all the things that I do. But I really think that's so very important, and that is to you know, recalibrate, and it allows you to actually be far more productive. And I would say that in the context of sleep, for example, we have all believed that, gosh, you know, if you stay up late, get up early,
yeah, pull those
really burn the candle,
yeah,
get so much done, and you'll be at the head of the class. Not true. To remember the information that you studied during the course of the day, you have to have a good night's sleep. And to prepare yourself to learn new information the following day, you have to have a good night's sleep. So this whole notion of pushing too hard, you know, it's a bell curve. Yeah, it's good to push hard, but you got to know when to shut it off.
That sleep is essential for consolidation of all the stuff that you've crammed into your brain the day before. Great stuff. So the Brainwash, we'll find out about when it's released. You can pre-order it at all the various sources, Amazon.com and so on. And, you know, I want to wish you great success with all your new enterprises. And thanks for getting the word out. Thanks for sharing with our audience. You're always very generous.
Well, thank you, Ron. I want you to know I absolutely covet our friendship that is now, we're into a couple of decades, and appreciate all that you do. And not just in your practice, but in your outreach on the program. And it's so important that we do that. And I honor you for staying in there and doing it. So great to talk to you.
Well, thank you so much. That was Dr. David Perlmutter. Thanks for joining us, folks. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. For decades, I've been preaching about the importance of a regimen of basic supplements that everyone should consider part of their daily health routine. So I came up with an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. The very same supplements I take myself and prescribe for my patients. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com. And check out my Intelligent Medicine Starter Kit. It's a short list of the basic supplements that I recommend as a starting point for those looking to take control of their health. They're the essential elements of a basic program that everyone could benefit from. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to DearHoffmanStore.com. That's DearHoffmanStore.com.